Nature and Complexities of Organization Behavior. OB analyzes human behavior in a unified, integrated and comprehensive manner at three levels. The individual you, you as a part of the group, and the group as a part of the organization. Individual behavior, group behavior and organization behavior. When you're sitting alone at your desk in the office, you have behavior A. When you go with your department, you have a behavior B. When the department goes with other departments for a meeting, you have a behavior C. Agreed? This is what they are saying. Individual behavior is influenced by your perception. I'll talk about it later. There is a particular model called iceberg model which I discuss. It's not a part of the book. I'll do it in one of the future sessions. Perception, the cognitive process that yields a unique picture of the world, the way I perceive things. Perception is point of view. That impacts my individual behavior. Personality, it's a number of things within me and outside me that makes my personality. It's not about looks. Personality is a combination of inside and outside put together. Outside is my garb. When I'm talking to you, I have to play a role of a faculty. So I need to come formally dressed. Conforming. But that alone is not enough. There has to be internal factors which actually live up to your expectations. So the inside and outside put together will make the role proper. I have a role to achieve a goal. The connecting between role and goal is a what is called as a role personality. Values, convictions with which we live, that affects my behavior. Attitudes, which is one step below behavior, underwater, but one step above perception in the water. I'll explain that later. Individual behavior. Job satisfaction is a person's feeling towards a job. Job satisfaction is very individual to each of us. And job satisfaction, people feel it is based on monetary rewards. It's not always true. Job satisfaction is about how much I'm involved in the job, how much I like my job. So it's a one's feelings towards the job. Motivation that accounts for intensity, direction, persistence of goal. That's promoting individual behavior. Then learning. When we say learning means something to do with skills building. Process of permanent change in behavior due to experience. Now we come to group behavior. It is influenced by group dynamics. I've already explained this. Groups are formed for a purpose. They behave and function based on norms. Teamwork. My own team, which is given a hard target to achieve. Performance of team is greater than the sum of the individual inputs. This is called a synergy. A plus B plus C is greater than AB, A plus B plus C. The output, when I do my work alone, I give X output. When I do my work with somebody else, my output is more than my work alone and his work alone put together. If I give 10 units, he gives 10 units, each working individually alone, then when we both come together and work, we'll give more than 20. That's the principle of synergy. Power and politics, ability of people to acquire resources and award them to people in the organization, how to play the power game and also the politics. It's nothing negative. It's a way we have to run organizations with a fair mindedness towards everybody. Group behavior, communication, transfer of information, understanding meaning of it. In a group, it's very important to ensure that people get the meaning of the communication, because the meaning is lost many times. Lots of meetings we guys go through in organizations. Monday morning meetings, Wednesday afternoon meetings, recap meetings, escalation meetings, so many things you do. But have you got the meaning behind the communication? That meaning is something which is lacking. In a group, that is very essential. The group team leader or the group leader has to do this. Leadership, ability to influence and guide group towards achieving goals. Decision making, developing alternative solutions to a problem and selecting the best solution. Okay. Now we come to the organization factors. We are concluding, practically coming to the end of the slides. Organization theory refers to various models of structuring activities of work to build relationship among people, goals, etc. You'll be covering organization theory in what is called as an organization structure. Organization structure means we have got a particular type of a organization pyramid in every organization. At the top, we have got the CEO or the CMD, and below that, there are all the other people reporting to him. As you are on the top, you are senior, and then when you come, you become junior. The organization theory tells you how to structure the organization in a way in which people are able to work harmoniously and effectively. Certain types of organization require certain type of structures based on the way they work. There are matrix organizations, there are circular organizations, there is functional organizations, different organizations, they come under this particular topic. Organization design, formulating the philosophy of coordinating job tasks. Jobs are allocated to people. How to bring them together so that they feel like doing it. I designed the organization in such a way that when two departments or two sets of teams come together, they should be in a position to make the thing happen rather than go back outside each other or get into cross purposes. This organization design, according to me, in my experience as a trainer and a consultant, start from the culture of the organization. The culture should promote it. It cannot happen by individual HODs and leaders. It has to come from the top. It's a culture that has to be all prevalent throughout the organization. Organization culture, I have spoken about culture, here it is. It's a pattern of basic assumption by a group as it learns to cope with problems that and has worked effectively. Culture is a sum total of beliefs, practices, behaviors, etc. that are expected from the company to say that this is our identity. A culture is an identity of a group. A culture is an identity of a group. And that identity is carved out by some rituals, some behaviors, some attitudes, etc., etc., which most of them are not spoken, but they are learned by group dynamics. In one company, for example, an engineering company, there is a culture every morning, anybody who walks in has to shake hands and say good morning, including the security in the factory. So it's a culture. Now, a fresher joins, somebody may tell him or not tell him, but he looks at it, then he starts doing the same thing. It comes more by looking at people. It is a type of a social learning. Organization effectiveness, selecting the right objectives and goals depending upon the environment. Now, when the organization is producing some products or services, its effectiveness is largely determined by the people who are supporting it within the organization. If an organization is into some manufacturing or service activity, its effectiveness, how well it does it, is largely determined by the people who are supporting it. So they must be in a position to ensure that the objectives and the goals of their business is in line with the support that they are getting from the people around, not the other way around. Next, significance of OB, the last part of the discussion. The overall behavior of human resources is affected by individual behavior and other factors such as social, cultural, economic, political and structural. Human behavior and human resources play a significant role in modern economics. Development of countries greatly depends upon human behavior. As a matter of fact, there is a particular new subject which has come in the recent years. It's called as behavioral economics. The economics of the land is controlled by the behaviors, collective behaviors of the whole citizens of the land. Okay, it's very interesting. Human behavior and organization performance. Organization performance is measured against objectives such as market share, profit, innovation, customer and employee satisfaction. Every organization wants this. They want a market share, they want profits, they want innovation, everything has to happen. These objectives are achieved only when employee behavior is channelized to enhance organization behavior as a whole. Now, don't expect your company to be Six Sigma company, highest quality confirmation, if your employees are not motivated, if they are not happy. That's where I say a good OB will bring about Six Sigma on its own. That is an initiative driven from the top management always. I firmly believe that the top management, if they are people conscious, people related, they consider people as resources, truly resources, as treasures, then you'll find that they can reach peaks of success and excellence. No doubt about it. Human behavior and organization performance. Continuing further, success of crafting and implementing strategies depends upon employee commitment to organization and strategies. Commitment is a key word. If an employee is committed, he will come out with strategies, ideas. Crafting means creating new things, and then he'll bring about success. Appropriate and adaptable human behavior helps to develop employee commitment. Appropriate and adaptable human behavior. helps to develop employee commitment. If the employee is given the appropriate treatment, he is made to be, he is able to feel adaptable, then the commitment of that employee will be much, much better. This is called empowerment of sorts. Employees work to develop technical skills, knowledge and competency. Okay. Human behavior and strategic advantages. Strategic advantages include low cost advantage, high quality, superior customer satisfaction, speed of delivery, etc. This is possible only when trained and skilled employees along with a conducive environment contribute to the achieving of these goals. Human behavior and efficient HR management. Appropriate human behavior helps in positive and efficient HR management, such as employee satisfaction, fair treatment of employees, training and continuous learning, counseling, mentoring, team building, etc. Now we come to the nation's well-being. Human behavior plays an important role in the well-being of a nation because human resources are responsible for making use of national resources and transformation of traditional economies to modern and industrial economies. Ultimately, we all know today we are galloping to become a superpower, India. All this is happening because there have been changes. I'm not talking politics, I'm talking about the changes that are really being felt at every level. And we are finding at the organization level, individual level, people are feeling more empowered. Human behavior is given importance. Human empowerment is taking place in a very big way. This is actually the reason why developed countries are developed countries, because it starts from the top. The nation builders, the people who run the nation, when they have that type of empowerment down the line to every aspect of society, the states, the capitals, the villages, the businesses, the institutions, when all this becomes a part of it, then you find that the nation's well-being will definitely be better and there'll be a respected nation. Thank you very much, friends, for this lovely, lovely time you have heard me, and I'm sure it's going to benefit you. We're going to meet again for chapter number 2 and further. Thank you.